This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
At 10 p.m. on the 24th of June 1978, the first Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras took place. Nothing like it is today, the first march was met with police violence that became a catalyst for change. From arrest to acceptance, Sydney's gay and lesbian Mardi Gras grew out of a terrible night in our history. A planned street festival calling for an end to discrimination against homosexuals in employment and housing, an end to police harassment, and the repeal of all homosexual laws saw 2,000 people step out from the Oxford Street bars and clubs, responding to the call to go into the street. Although the organisers had obtained permission, this was revoked and the parade was broken up by the police. It was actually the opposition that the march was met with when it first began, both from outsiders and within our own communities, that helped shape it into the iconic beacon of pride we see today as one of Australia's most loved events. But as we look at 40 years of Mardi Gras, what does moving from protest to pride actually mean? At the Mardi Gras Fair Day earlier this year, Dean Arcuri sat down with Ken, Diane, Michael and Robin from the 78ers and asked just that as we reflect on that first march and how far we have come today.
We started organising this in May, 1978, at this university, just near here, as a coalition of lesbian and gay groups. And we were responding to a lot of attacks on our rights in the United States, like a need for international solidarity. And when we had the idea of a nighttime celebration, I don't think we thought much would come of it. And that night in 1978, it was like really exhilarating to be in a public space with lesbian and gay identity, and at night with freedom. But our freedom was so short-lived, you know, that as soon as the police attacked, we realised we were involved in a historic moment. And I think having the second Mardi Gras in 1979, which was against the wishes of the gay business, gay media, gay groups, that really made a tradition. But the idea that it's lasted 40 years is unimaginable for us, like back in the 70s.
I was with Ken being sheltered in a shop doorway in King's Cross, but we had a very good view of the violence that was happening when the police attacked the first Mardi Gras in King's Cross. Male homosexuality was illegal. Lesbians were often harassed, and gay men and Aboriginals were harassed by police. It was a situation where we weren't always safe in those situations. Police attacked our demonstrations regularly, but the attack on the first Mardi Gras was of a different degree of ferocity, and there were 53 people arrested on that night and dozens more arrested at the subsequent protests that were part of our massive political fight back, the Drop the Charges campaign. And nearly all the charges got dropped, so we were successful in that. Yeah. Unless the police had attacked it, there probably wouldn't have been another Mardi Gras. And we were, as Ken said, so determined to have a second Mardi Gras against opposition. There were no arrests then and things like that. And basically, we still need Mardi Gras. We still need that public space, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender presence, because basically, there's still a lot of homophobia around. I mean, a friend of mine says a butch woman she knows was spat on in Campbelltown the day the marriage equality thing was announced. In for young gay and lesbian people in outer suburban and country areas and regional areas, it's not necessarily safe to come out. We've got to keep going and be a beacon for those young people.
Well, I was only 16 at the time, so it was very hard. My best friend and I, we were walking up the street with all the 78ers, and I could see all the police at the top of the street, and I just knew that, you know, this wasn't going to be good. And so as people hid in the door frames and the doorways of shops and and people were getting hit and people were flying everywhere, we sort of ran backwards. And because we were young, I don't think they realised that we were with that crowd, you know, because they were all sort of university students and older. But it was pretty horrific to watch. Yeah. For us, I think it's been 40 years in the making, that's for sure. And for us to have equality now and all that, it's a good. It's been a long road. And, and all these people, as you can see, they have careworn faces and they've cared a lot to get to this point. And so I think this year it's a celebration of life and equality and for everybody to be equal under one. I think it's good.
Is it weird to think that here we are 40 years later and we're still fighting for equality on so many levels?
On so many levels, yes. It's weird when you look around the world and you travel to other parts of the world and it's more available then, you know. So and it's more accepted, but here it's so backwards. And you know, even though we've got so many levels to go now before it's fully accepted, you know, and there's still a lot of homophobic things going on around the world. Some places you're going backwards, you know. It's quite sad. But for 40 years here, I think it's a big party, and I think everybody's going to be so excited. I can't wait for the parade.
There were two components of the day, the 24th of June 1978. So in the morning we had one of our ordinary old demos that we always have, which is marching along the street with placards shouting, give us our rights and stuff like that. And then in the evening we had a street parade, a party. And one of the reasons we did that was because a lot of people felt very nervous walking down the street. A lot of people at that time, 40 years ago, were very, very nervous about their sexuality becoming public, so being outed. So they were keen on having something that they could participate in, but be more anonymous. So the idea of dressing up in outfits and putting on makeup and having wigs and things like that essentially acted as a disguise, so they wouldn't be recognised. It's hard to imagine now, but 40 years ago, people could be sacked from their job on the basis of their sexuality, no other reason, because sexual orientation was explicitly excluded from the Anti-Discrimination Act. In other words, it was legal to discriminate. So it provided a way for people to get out there, have a bit of fun, be involved with other members of their community in what we thought was a safe space. Didn't turn out that way. We were brutally attacked by the police. They interrupted the parade at a certain point and tried to shut us down, pull out the driver of the only truck we had. It's not like today. We had one truck and a loudspeaker playing two songs. That was it. And they just tried to break up the whole thing. And I think for us, it was one of those moments where you have that, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. So we basically said no and took off up to the cross, which really didn't go down too well with the police, and they ambushed us at the police at the cross, where they just started physically attacking people, so brutally bashing them. Punches, kicks, throw to the ground, dragging people along by their hair, running them into the wall, and then throwing them bodily into paddy wagons. But we fought back. We grabbed people who were being pulled by the police and dragged them out of the paddy wagon. Or we got hold of one arm while the police had the other arm and kept pulling until they were released. And we hadn't really done that before, hadn't fought back in that way, because the gay and lesbian movement in Australia was going well before 1978, and we'd had protests and demos and that sort of thing. So it wasn't our first experience of police harassment, but it was the most systematic, the most violent episode of police violence. We'd never seen anything like it. It was so extreme, so systematic. It was quite shocking. And maybe that's what galvanised people to fight back as strongly as they did. And a lot of people that otherwise would have ended up in the paddy wagon didn't, because we got them out. It wasn't a lot of fun in the end, but here we are 40 years later, and it is heaps of fun.
Well, what is it like now looking at it 40 years later and having, you know, so many people able to stand up and be who they are because of that action that you took?
Look, it's a fantastic feeling. We would never have imagined that we would still have Mardi Gras 40 years later, or that it would be the amazing festival and spectacle that it is today. And I think it's extremely important that we keep having it, because visibility is still hugely important, and diversity, sexual diversity, is still hugely important. So I'm one of the people that thinks it's so important for particularly, say, young people living in rural and regional areas that have no role models, that are bullied at school, that they've got something that they can relate to, that they can see that the role models, that there is, there are choices for them. They can be who they are. That exists.
That was Dina Arcuri speaking to 78ers Ken, Diane, Michael and Robin as they reflected on the very first Mardi Gras parade 40 years ago and how the protest march has evolved to become a beacon of pride today.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.